Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love reading, pondering, and sharing humorous stories about the freakish things that happen in everyday life. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily aberrations, a micro-audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Patrick Metzger, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is, "My Boss Didn't Like Me, and I Got Let Go." A tale of deception, rejection, reflection, and redemption. After 8 years working for a large bank, the manager with whom I'd had a cordial and productive relationship made a lateral move, and I got a new boss. She did not care for me. Catherine was a woman of diverse aspects. During meetings with the team, she would spew good cheer and motivational bromides like a miniature Tony Robbins, but there was something dark lurking behind those prescription Pradas. I would soon see it in action. It wasn't a mid-career crisis or fear of change that left me feeling she disliked me. You could have spotted her contempt from space. She ignored me whenever possible, even in our rare one-on-one meetings. When ignoring wasn't possible, she greeted my every word with a weary sigh, as if I told her I just soiled myself. I was shocked and hurt because, A, I'm delightful, and B, I'd been at my job for several years with stellar performance reviews. Unhappily, my golden retriever charm and documented competence were powerless against her impenetrable basilisk stare. It became clear that I wasn't long for the office. The organization was in one of its periodic lurches into cost-cutting mode, and several of my peers had already been nudged unwillingly into the next stage of their careers. By the time Catherine stopped inviting me to meetings for projects I was leading, the writing was on the wall of my cubicle, and it did not read, "Congratulations, Patrick." I called a friend who was a senior HR executive for help in navigating my imminent corporate defenestration. "Have you seen anyone doing anything illegal or unethical?" he said. "No, the lawyers and compliance folks keep on top of things." "That's too bad. You could use that. Have you had a mental health crisis, or are you an alcoholic? That would make it harder for them." "No," I said apologetically. "Social drinker at best." "In that case, all I can recommend is that you act super nice when they let you go so they feel bad about doing it." Armed with this advice, I waited for the axe to drop. It happened a few days later. I had my weekly one-on-one with Catherine, who had canceled the meeting for several weeks prior. I bounded into her office with a sheaf of status reports and spreadsheets because, as is common in abusive relationships, I still wanted her to like me. She stood up from her desk and fixed me with a dispassionate Terminator stare. "We're going to meet in the boardroom today." If you've worked in the corporate world, you know that companies fire people in the same way that mafioso whack their own. Someone you know and trust will take you to a second location under false pretenses, then rush to get the event over with before you can figure out what's happening and run out crying. I understood immediately what was going on, and the 15-second walk to the boardroom stretched into eons as I jabbered nervously about my weekend while she looked at her phone. In the boardroom, a woman from HR introduced herself, and we all sat down. Catherine gave a brief boilerplate spiel, which amounted to, We have wrung the last drop of value from your desiccated brain, so goodbye. Then offered to shake my hand, if you want to, which showed that she could read a room. I shook her hand because I was relieved that the thing was finally done and saw no reason to burn bridges. Catherine left, and the HR rep handed me a termination letter to take home for review and sign back. After several minutes chatting about kids and the weather, she thanked me for being uncommonly pleasant. Evidently, some folks get a little mean-spirited when their livelihood is snatched away. I felt flattered by this assessment. Lastly, she gave me a taxi chit and made me promise to use it. Large public companies don't want tear-blinded ex-employees falling under buses or subway trains. The layoff wasn't a feel-good experience in general, but the cream cheese of insult on the stale corporate meeting bagel of injury was yet to come. Catherine sent out an email to everyone in the subsidiary we worked for, advising that I was no longer employed there and offering transparently insincere well wishes for my future endeavors. That's standard practice. The particular indignity was that the same email congratulated in glowing terms my replacement, a former report of mine who sat directly in front of me, for taking my job. She and Catherine had been crushing on each other for a while, and I subsequently learned that Catherine had flowers delivered to the woman's desk in celebration of their mutual good fortune. The email would have been a low-rent move had I been fired for cause, and under the circumstances, it was one of the tackiest things I've seen in decades of employment. Now, I understand that the world doesn't stop turning every time my ego is bruised, and if it did, we'd all be hurled into space screaming several times a day. But I think I had reason to be pissed off. Next stop, redemption. A year later, I had a new job and was invited to a product demonstration by a vendor I'd done some work with. Since I knew them through my previous employer, I wasn't surprised to see Catherine in attendance as well. It was a smallish event, some 30 people in a restaurant bar, which was only about 15 feet wide. After the presentation, I wanted to go to the front and ask some questions, but due to the press of people and the size of the venue, I would have to pass within a couple feet of Catherine, who was standing at the bar. Rather than giving a chilly nod or pretending not to see her as I passed, I approached her and asked how she'd been doing. She responded politely, if not warmly, and we had a more civil conversation than we'd ever held when working together. To this day, I'm not sure whether I did it because I thought it the least awkward approach, or because I'm a noble and magnanimous soul, or because I wanted a story that would make me look like a noble and magnanimous soul. Regardless, it helped diffuse my lingering resentment and put a bookend on the whole experience. Did I learn something? Do I ever? Some people aren't going to like me, and I try to avoid working with them. When I can't avoid it, I try not to take the bullshit personally. Since my internal emotional life vacillates between Zen garden and seething sun of incandescent rage, that's not always easy. Deep breath. Everything passes. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at Chris Narrates on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, chriskepler.com.